الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد The author he mentioned رحمه الله تعالى باب ما جاء في ذي الوجهين باب ما جاء في ذي الوجهين The chapter with regards to that which has come about the one who is two-faced The one who is two-faced, the one who has two faces, meaning the one who approaches one party of people in a manner, and he approaches another party of people in a different manner, And this is the state of the one who is like a hypocrite. And this is the state of the hypocrite. And the person with two faces like this, he has this attribute of hypocrisy, وَرِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ and trying to suck up to the people and in a manner upon falsehood and trying to have good position with the people and please the people and saying that which is pleasing to them in order to be aware of their secrets and of their personal affairs and to benefit from both parties and many times likewise to sow discord and to work corruption, So the author he says, وَقَوْلِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى and the statement of Allah the Most High, وَإِذَا لَقُوا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَإِذَا لَقُوا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا قَالُوا آمَنَّا until the end of the verse, and the verse continues, وَإِذَا لَقُوا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا قَالُوا آمَنَّا وَإِذَا خَلَوْا إِلَى شَيَاطِينِهِمْ قَالُوا إِنَّا مَعَكُمْ إِنَّمَا نَحْنُ مُسْتَهْزِئُونَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala he mentions about the hypocrites that whenever they meet those who believe they say indeed we believe likewise and whenever they are alone with their devils any meaning their companions from the hypocrites and the disbelievers then they say truly we're with you we're only mocking them and so whenever they were with the believers they will show the face of faith and iman and they will pretend to be from amongst them and they're really not And then whenever they would go into the company of the wicked and the evil and the disbelievers, then they would show the face of evil and disbelief. And they would say about the other party that they were only mocking them and the likes like this. So whenever they're with one group, they will display that which is pleasing to that group. And also they will display contrary to that which is displeasing to them. So they will say that which is pleasing to them and make it appear that they are contrary to the other group. And against the other group. And then whenever they're with the disbelievers or the other group that is contrary to the first group, they will say and display that which is pleasing to them and make it apparent that they're not with the other group likewise. And this is the case of the munafiqun, of the hypocrites. And this is the case of the one who has two faces, وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ وَقَوْلِهِ and the statement of Allah the Most High, مُذَبْذَبِينَ بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ لَا إِلَى هَؤُلَى وَلَا إِلَى هَؤُلَى And مُذَبْذَبِينَ and these people, they're considered like this, going back and forth. They're not stable. They're not with them, nor are they with them. And he referring to the hypocrites specifically, meaning they're not really with the believers, nor are they really with the disbelievers. They're back and forth between the two. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ taking that which they can in order to benefit their own selves. And the likes like this, pretending to be with them at one moment, and then turning their back on them, and pretending to be with their enemies, and against them at the other moment. In this manner. So this is a foul way. The one who comes to a group of people and he displays that which is pleasing to them and he pretends to be amongst them and that he's against the opposite. He's against their enemies and the likes like this and he's not with those who dislike them. And then he'll go to the people who are enemies to them and dislike them and contrary to them and pretend to be with them and display that they are not like their enemies and the likes like this. And this is a foul and a lowly way. He says, وَلَهُمَا عَنْ أَبِي هُرَيْرَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ مَرْفُوعًا And also collected by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. From the Haditha Abi Hurairah رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, تَجِدُونَ شَرَّ النَّاسِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ ذَا الْوَجْهَيْنِ أَلَّذِي يَأْتِ هَؤُلَاءِ بِوَجْهٍ وَهَؤُلَاءِ بِوَجْهٍ He mentioned the narration of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم that you find the worst of the people on the day of resurrection, the one who has two faces. He comes to these people with this face, and he goes to those people with that face. And the wording in Sahih Bukhari, it's mentioned tajidu min شر الناس يوم القيامة تجدوا يعني مفرد تجدوا من شر الناس يوم القيامة. You will find from the worst of the people, from the worst of the people on the day of resurrection. Also in addition, عند الله تجدوا من شر الناس يوم القيامة عند الله ذلوجهين ذلوجهين. In the wording of Muslim, it's mentioned تجدون من شر الناس تجدون, like this here, but the من is there in both cases between any before شر. تجدون من شر الناس يوم القيامة عند الله عند الله ذا الوجهين الذي يأتي هؤلاء بوجه وهؤلاء بوجه. You will find that from the most evil or from the worst of the people on the day of resurrection with Allah, and this is important to understand likewise, because they're not the worst, but they're from the worst. They're from the worst of the people on the day of resurrection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ذا الوجهين, the one who has two faces. Any of the two-faced people, the one who comes to these people in this manner, and in this aspect, and comes to those with that aspect or in that manner. The author, he says, وَعَنْ أَنَسٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ مَرْفُوعًا مَنْ كَانَ ذَا لِسَانَيْنِ جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لَهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ لِسَانَيْنِ مِنَ النَّارِ. He mentioned the narration of Anas رضي الله عنه مرفوعة, and that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said that whoever has two tongues, then Allah will make for him on the day of resurrection two tongues from the fire. Two tongues from the fire. And he, what is referring to here? The same one, the two-faced person. Because the two-faced person, he comes and he says to these people that which is pleasing to them and that which they like, and displays to them that he's with them and from amongst them and supporting them. And then he'll go to their enemies and he will do the same thing to them. And then he will say to them, and he says that he has two faces, displaying two faces, yani one to them and one to them. And likewise two tongues, because he's speaking in this manner for them, to please them, and then speaking in another manner to please those who are contrary to them and in opposition to them. This narration here has been authenticated by Shaykh al-Albani rahimahullah ta'ala. Also it has come from the hadith of Ammar ibn Yasir radiallahu anhumah, and it's in Sunan Abi Dawood. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Man kana lahu wajhani min ad-dunya, man kana lahu wajhani min ad-dunya, kana lahu yawm al-qiyamati lisanani min an-nar." Lisanani min an-nar. The one who has two faces in this life, then on the day of resurrection he will have two tongues from the fire. You have two tongues from the fire. Wa'iyadhu billah. Yani so this is also an example of the principle the people of knowledge, they clarify, al-jaza'u min jins al-amal, al-jaza'u min jins al-amal, that the reward is from the, or the recompense is from the type of the action indeed. So the person who does a particular type of action of goodness, he will be rewarded accordingly, yani similar to that action. And likewise, the one who does evil and he works evil, then he will be rewarded accordingly, and he recompensed accordingly, punished in that same manner. So here he was working evil with his face and his tongue, and the punishment will afflict him there in that same place. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. So this is no doubt from the lowly affairs that a person, he will pretend to be with a group of people, for example, the believers and the righteous. Whenever he's around them, he'll display outwardly that he's with them, and he'll say the words that please them, and he will say the statements that they say. And he will also make it apparent that he's not with any of the hypocrites, or he's not with the disbelievers, or he's not with the deviated groups and the sects. He's not with the Hizbis and the likes like that. He's free from them. He's down. He's with Ahl Sunnah. He loves the Sunnah and the people of the Sunnah and the scholars of the Sunnah. He's not from the Khawarij, for example, nor from these different Jama'at. Or he dislikes and he detests disbelief and the ways of the Kafara and the likes like that. Whenever he's with the believers, and then whenever he's with the deviant sects, for example, whenever he's with the Khawarij and the people who have this deviant ideology with regards to the rulers, for example, he will say that which is pleasing to them, and he will display that which is contrary to what he displayed to, yani whenever he was amongst the people of the Sunnah. And yani now whenever he's with the Muslim Brotherhood, for example, he will display another color, another loan, another speech, another aspect of what he's upon, contrary to what they're upon. Maybe he would even belittle them and talk bad about them, al-Wahhabiyya, so on and so forth, and the likes like this. And when just a moment ago he was over there with them, praising them and saying the statements that are from the statements of the people of the Sunnah. Then whenever he turns their back on them and he's in the company of those who are against them from these deviant sects, then he says what's pleasing to them and he blames them and the likes like this. And this is a foul way and this is a lowly way. And many times they will do this in order to hear the seekers from both sides, in order to be close to both sides and to know what they're saying and know what they're saying, and to know the inner affairs of these people and those people in order to sow corruption and evil. In order to sow corruption and evil. And this is from the intents of the likes of these people. This is why they'll do the likes of this, in order to benefit themselves, and likewise in order just to work fasad and to work corruption and to cause chaos. And even we see in these eras that there are enemies to Islam indeed, and they have seeds, they have planted amongst the ranks of the Muslims and the students of knowledge specifically, and they sow discord and corruption, and they spread lies, and they come to the scholars in this face and in this manner, and they smile and pretend to be from the students of knowledge who are righteous, and then they go after that, out of that gathering, and they are from the worst and the lowest and the wicked of people with the lowliest manners, waliyadhu billah, and they pretend to be with these people, and then they pretend to be with those people, and the likes like this, and this is a foul way, and this is a foul way, and this is the threat that they're facing. This is the threat that they're facing, that they're from the worst of the people with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of resurrection, and likewise that they will have a tongue, or rather two tongues, from the fire. Waliyadhu billah. Waliyadhu billah. Ibn Hajr al-Asqalani rahimahullah, he died in the year 852 in his work Fath al-Bari. He mentions some statements of the people of knowledge transmitting from An-Nawawi and other than him, rahimahullah. Of course, Nawawi preceded him. He died in the year 676. But he had commented in the explanation of Sahih Muslim, Al-Hafidh al-Nawawi, in more than one position about this issue. And Ibn Hajar, rahimahullah ta'ala, he gathered his statements and put them together in this explanation of this work. And there are benefits that he mentions in Nawawi. He mentioned about the person, or what is intended from the one who has two faces, Al-Marad bithi al-Wajhain. He said, rahimahullah, Huwaradiyati kulla ta'ifatin bima yurdiha. فَيُذْهِرُ لَهَا أَنَّهُ مِنْهُمْ وَمُخَارِفٌ لِغِدِّهَا. So the one who is two-faced, he is the one who comes to each group or each party of people with that which is pleasing to them. And he will display to them outwardly that he is with them and that he is in opposition to those who oppose them. وَصَنِيعُهُ نِفَاقٌ وَمَحْضُ كَذِبٍ وَخِدَاعٍ وتحيل على الاطلاع على أسرار الطائفتين. And this action that this person is performing is hypocrisy, and it's pure lying, it's purely lies and deception and trickery, and deception and trickery, in order to become aware of the secrets of both parties, in order to become aware of the secrets of both parties. وهي مداهنة محرمة. And it is مداهنة, which is muharraman. Mudahana is a type of flattery that is impermissible. When a person who will flatter an individual or a group of people and go along with them in opposition to the religion, and in order to get something from the dunya, he will leave the deen and back down from the affairs of the religion and from the commandments and prohibitions and the establishment of the sunnah in order to get something from the people. This is called mudahana, and he compromising in the religion. What do lo tudihinu fa yudihinun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned to his prophet that's what they wish from him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he would compromise so that they would compromise. And meaning even that it's mentioned that they came to the prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and they said to him, just be quiet about our gods. Don't refute our gods and speak ill of our gods. Do not clarify the falsehood of what we're upon, any the meaning of that. And they said, so a few days we'll worship your God, and then another few days you worship our God. And sometimes you just be quiet about what we're upon. And then sometimes we worship your God, and other time you worship our God. Any compromise. To compromise in the religion. This is called mudahana. To back down from the affairs of the religion in order to obtain the dunya. In order to obtain the dunya. This is haram and not permissible. This is what this person is doing in this manner like this. Huh? Al-mudahana. Naam, al-mudahana. The opposite of that is al-mudarat. Al-mudarat. And mudarat is to back down from something from the worldly life in order to maintain the religion or preserve the religion. This is allowed. This is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would do. He would make mudarat, and he would not make mudahana. As for the munafiq, and as for dhul wajhain, that he makes mudahana, and he compromises in the religion in this manner in order to get personal gains. Waliyadu billah. So, and Nawawi, he said, clarifying, yani a benefit here, rahimahullah, قَالَ فَأَمَّا مَنْ يَقْصِدُ بِذَلِكَ الْإِصْلَاحِ بَيْنَ طَائِفَتَيْنِ فَهُوَ مَحْمُودٌ فَهُوَ مَحْمُودٌ. As for the one who comes in this manner to each party or group of people in order to rectify their affairs, he'll come to them with that which is pleasing and come to them with that which is pleasing in order to rectify between them, then this one is praiseworthy. This one is praiseworthy. This is the end of the transmission of the statement of a Nawawi. Now Ibn Hajar rahimahullah, he mentions another statement from other people of knowledge. He says, وَقَالَ غَيْرُهُ, and this is a clarification of how that will occur. And so sometimes there are circumstances, and this is important, and from the benefit of knowledge, because knowledge is light. Knowledge is light. Sometimes there are issues that there's a fine line between the difference of them. Like for example, al-mudahana wa-mudarat. And so some people, if he's not careful, he might fall. Yani from one to the other. And he may want to make mudarat and then fall into mudahana. Or there will be an issue where something is permissible or something is impermissible. Or something, the origin of this that's impermissible in certain circumstances is allowed. And the likes like this. But there's a fine line there. If a person, he does not follow the dawabit al-shar'iyyah, if he does not follow the legislative principles in these particular affairs, then he could fall into that which is impermissible easily. He could fall into that which is impermissible easily. So here to come to each party in this manner like this with one face, yani these people, they're enemies to each other. One of them is right and one of them is wrong. So to come over here to them and to speak to them to please them, and then to come over there to speak to them to please them, yani the origin of this is that a person, he'll be having two-faced. So it's not permissible. Yani especially if his intention is to learn about their secrets and to bring into sow discord and corruption. As for if he has the intention now to learn, to come to this people and to say that which is pleasing to them, and then to pleasing to them in order to try to get them together to unite and to reconcile and to rectify the differences between the two, now this becomes a good deed and this is praiseworthy. So this is not considered dhul wajhain here, but the Ibn Hajar, now he mentions some statements of the people of knowledge to clarify how that would occur. He says وَقَالَ غَيْرُهُ يعني غير النووي, other than يعني other people of knowledge besides Nawawi, they mention about this. الفرق بينهما أن المذموم من يزين لكل طائفة عملها ويقبحه عند الأخرى ويذم كل طائفة عند الأخرى. So the difference between the two is that the one that is blameworthy, the one who comes with two faces, one to this people and one to those people, the one that is blameworthy is that he will beautify the speech. Oh, he will beautify the deeds of each party for them. Like whatever they're upon, he will go along with them and make it seem fair appealing. And what they're upon, he will praise them and decorate for them their deeds and make it seem as if he's in agreement with them and he likes what they're upon. And he will make the other people, and he will belittle their actions and their deeds and what they're upon. So he'll come to this people and he will say that which is pleasing to them and agree with them and make him think that he is pleased with their actions and what they're upon. And then he will speak ill about the other party. And he will belittle the other party, and he will put down the other party. And then he'll go to the other party, and he'll do the same thing. You understand? He'll go to the other party, and then he will praise them, and he will pretend to be with them, and he will decorate for them what they're upon, and make it sound good, and the likes like that. And he will put down the other party, and speak ill of them, and talk bad about them, and find fault with them. This one is blameworthy. This one is blameworthy. He says, وَالْمَحْمُودُ أَنْ يَأْتِيَ لِكُلِّ طَائِفَةٍ بِكَلَامٍ فِيهِ صَلَاحُ الْأُخْرَى ويعتذر بكل واحدة عن الأخرى وينقل إليه ما أمكنه من الجميل ويستر القبيح ويستر القبيح. Like this. So he says, as for the one that's praiseworthy, then this is to go to each party with some speech and to talk to them in a manner that will bring about the rectification of the other party. And that will be in the best interest of the other party. And likewise, he will make excuses for the other party as well. He'll make excuses for the other party as well, and he will mention to them as much as he can about the beautiful and the good affairs of the other party and the other group, and he will cover the faults as much as he can of the other party and the other group. So he'll come to this group of people, and he will mention to them and talk to them about the other group that they had a falling out with, and he will say that which is beneficial for the other party for them to hear. He will tell this party what is beneficial for the other party for them to hear from their side of the story. And then likewise, he will also make excuses for them as well. They have this excuse and that excuse, and maybe they did this and did that, but there's a reason and there's a the problem and there's a benefit from that, or he's excused because of this affair, or his hand was pressured, so on and so forth. He'll make excuses for them as well. He'll make excuses for them as well, and then he'll also mention the good traits that they have, and the benefits that they have, and the things they have together, and in cooperation and in accordance with them, and the actual mistakes that the other party has, he will not mention them and cover them. He'll not mention them and cover them. Then he'll leave that party and go to that other party and do the same thing. About the other party, mentioning to this party over here, that which is in the best interest of that party. That which is in the best interest of that party. Make an excuse for them likewise. Make an excuse for them likewise. And mention the beautiful traits as well. And then also cover their faults in order to rectify and to bring reconciliation. In order to rectify and bring reconciliation. Whether it's between a man and his wife, whether between his family and other family members, whether it's between two brothers or a group of people from the people of the Sunnah and the likes like this, this is the manner. And the people that have fallen out, and we want to rectify them. As for whenever we have falling out because people oppose the Sunnah, for example, and people are in contradiction to the proper creed, or people violate the methodology of the Salaf and the likes like that, then this one has a different way to deal with that. But as for rectifying between the people of the Sunnah and the likes like this, then this is the manner. So he will come to these people with a face and to please them, and he'll come to them likewise to please them as well in order to bring rectification. This is a beautiful, beautiful affair, and this is not a person who has two faces. We understand the difference between that. This is very, very beneficial. So as for the one who comes to them to please them and then to them to please them, then this one is blameworthy. And this one he has a threat. This one is blameworthy and this one he has a threat. So we should be... There's a button on the side right here. You just push it down and then it won't disturb anybody in the masjid or the classes, barakallahu fikum, because these things they're disturbing, yani. So we should turn our phones off if we can, or even if we forget, we should ration turn it off. Even if somebody, for example, he's in salah, you know, just leave it. It goes off in salah, and he is so pious and righteous, and he's in so much khushu' that he can't move and turn his phone off. You move and turn your phone off. You know what I mean? The people of knowledge, Sheikh Suleiman, like he says, had that water on bedded. Cold piety. He's so pious, yani, that mashallah, he's in so much khushu', he can't even turn his phone off, disturbing all of the people. Yani. So the phone, yani, no doubt sometimes we forget it, alhamdulillah. But if that happens, we turn it off. And we don't want to continue to do that and keep on being that person that's always at Asr time, for example, at Fajr time, this one goes off. And then at Dhuhr time, this one goes off. And then by the time Asr time, we're wondering, man, who's it going to be now? Who's it going to be now? And in one day, sometimes that's the case. And one day, sometime at Fajr time, this guy, his phone goes off. And then at Dhuhr time, this guy, his phone. And then at Asr time, subhanAllah, and the whole time, like, by the time it's Isha, you're like, wondering whose phone's going to go off next. And then the next day, if the same person does it, that becomes a problem. So you make an excuse for your brother, even 70 of them, like the Prophet ﷺ mentioned. But after somebody does it, the same person 70 times, you run out of excuses for them. You make an excuse, you make an excuse, you make an excuse, you make an excuse, make an excuse for the same person and the same thing. After that, there's no more excuses. There's no more excuses. And so this is something that we shouldn't take lightly. Barakallahu fikum. Barakallahu fikum. The knowledge should be respected and honored. In the gatherings of knowledge are the gatherings of the hereafter. And they're the gatherings of paradise. And we should try to honor them and respect them. Even if, you know, alhamdulillah, we're just reading together from the books of the people of knowledge. Still, we're in the masjid. And we have the words of our Lord in front of us. And the hadith of our Prophet in front of us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the rulings of our deen. So we should try to honor that as much as we can. As much as we can. And whether we're in America or whether we're in Al-Madinah. Or Mecca, alhamdulillah. We try to work to establish our religion and to honor our deen. May Allah bless all of you and increase you all in good. So we see that the affair of the two-faced person, this is a lowly way. This is a lowly way. We should not be like that. We should not pretend to be, mashallah, good and with the Muslims, and then when we're with the disbelievers, we have a whole nother attitude. or whenever we're with the Muslim people, we have it this way, and then when we're with the disbelievers, we act that way, or we talk like this in this manner, and then when we're with them, we talk in that manner, or, you know, we guard our tongue here, and then our tongue becomes foul all of a sudden there, and the life's like this. This is not proper. The one who truly has tawheed in his heart, he will not be like that. The tawheed in the heart of a believer will stop him from that, because he knows that his Lord can see him with both people. So whether he's with the righteous or whether he's with the evil, it's the same for him, because the tawheed, he knows Allah Azza wa Jal. He knows Allah Azza wa Jal can see him with them and can see him with them. So he's not nice to them for the sake of them, rather for the sake of Allah. And he's not mindful with them because of them, rather for the sake of Allah. So this is the case, to hold fast to the religion in every circumstance, and to not be from those lowly people that learn the secrets of other parties in order to sow and to work corruption, like an-namam, the one who carries tales and calumnies. So after this, the author, he says, Babu Maja'a fi an-namima, yani with regards to that, it's very yani similar. The chapter of that which has come, about an-namima. An-namima, they call it calumnies, yani meaning spreading tales. Carrying tales, yani from one party to another. Naklu kalam an-nas baynahum ala wajhi al-ifsad. Waliyadhu billah. Naklu kalam an-nas fima baynahum ala wajhi al-ifsad. Yani yuridu al-ifsad bayn an-nas. So this is called namima. And namima is whenever a person, he will transmit the statements of one people to another, one person to another, or one party to another, with the intention of sowing discord and corruption. So he'll mention the foul and lowly faults and mistakes and traits of one party to another party with the intention of sowing discord and hatred in the heart of that person. In the heart of that person or those people. This is called a namima. He wants to sow hatred in the heart of others. And so therefore he'll transmit to them that which they have said or that which has happened or occurred to them and the likes like this. So this is a foul way. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blamed the people who are ascribed with this trait in his book. And likewise his Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wallahu la yuhibbu al-fasad. And he has described that this is considered fasad, and working fasad in the earth, working corruption and evil, making namima, going around from party to party, spreading tales and the likes like this. This is evil, working corruption. This is evil and working corruption. Wallahu la yuhibbu al-fasad. And Allah, he does not love corruption. Wallahu la yuhibbu al-mufsideen. Allah, he does not love those who work corruption. Likewise, and namima is corruption. Ghiba is corruption. So those people who work that, then they have this threat right here. Allah, he does not love the people who do that. And Allah, he does not love that. Allah, he does not love corruption. Allah, he does not love those who work and sow corruption. And from the greatest aspects of corruption, and from those who sow and work corruption, spreading tales and those who do that, waliyadhu billah. Spreading tales and those who do that, waliyadhu billah. It's even been mentioned that the narration will come in namima. Some of the people of knowledge have described it as being magic, or mentioned that it's similar to magic and the likes like this, because of the corruption that it sows. And although the ruling is not the same, but the effects can be similar. The effects can be similar because the magician, he's able to separate between loved ones, people who love each other, people who are beloved and united together. With the magic of the magician, he's able to separate between them and to cause them to have hatred and animosity and the likes like this. And he works corruption in this manner in societies. وَلِيَذَ بِاللَّهِ. And likewise the namam. Likewise the one who carries tales, he works corruption in the same way. And he is able to separate between the people, rather between great parties, even more than the magician. All of the rulings are different. The rulings are different. And the outcome and the punishment for those rulings are different. But from this aspect, they're similar. For this reason, Yahya ibn Abi Kathir, rahimahullah, from the Tabi'in, he died in the year 132. He died in the year 132 from the great scholars of Hadith. Rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned, he said, يُفْسِدُ النَّمَّامُ وَالْكَذَّابُ فِي سَاعَةٍ مَا لَا يُفْسِدُهُ السَّاحِرُ فِي سَنَةٍ يُفْسِدُ النَّمَّامُ وَالْكَذَّابُ فِي سَاعَةٍ مَا لَا يُفْسِدُهُ السَّاحِرُ فِي سَنَةٍ. That the namam, he's the one who makes namima. He's the one who carries tales. He's known for that. And the liar, the namam and the liar, they corrupt. They work more corruption in 1 hour, yani in a brief period of time, than the magician he works in a year. Than the magician he works in in a year. And this is because normally the magician, whenever he separates between the people, it'll be between a man and his wife, or an individual. Individuals in the likes like this, between two people. But as for the namam, that his evil, it works in corrupt societies. And he'll especially in our days, whenever the information is spread easy, and the likes like that. So he will work corruption and sow discord between parties of people, rather communities of people, and the likes like that. And the likes like this, from carrying tales, وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. So the author, he says, بَابُ مَا جَاءَ فِي النَّمِيمَةِ, that which has come with regards to spreading tales, and carrying tales from one party to the next. وَقَوْلِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى هَمَّازٍ مَشَّاءٍ بِنَمِيمٍ. And the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, هَمَّازٍ مَشَّاءٍ بِنَمِيمٍ. And this verse is in Surah Noon, Surah Al-Qalam. Before this verse, there are another verse, and after this verse, likewise, in the same context, Allah, He says, وَلَا تُوْطِيَ كُلَّ حَلَّافٍ مَهِينٍ هَمَّازٍ مَشَّاءٍ بِنَمِيمٍ مَنَّاعٍ لِلْخَيْرِ مُعْتَدٍ أَثِيمٍ. Allah, He mentioned, Subhanahu wa ta'ala, and do not obey, O Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, speaking directly to the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but likewise, this is for mankind, yani for the ummah. وَلَا تُوْطِيَ كُلَّ حَلَّافٍ مَهِينٍ. And do not obey, do not listen to, and obey and follow everyone who is considered halaf maheen. Halaf, the one who is always swearing. Kithirul harifi. Fil haqi wal baathil. The one who is always swearing. Wallahi, wallahi, wallahi. I swear by Allah, uqsim billah. Like that, I swear by Allah this, I swear by Allah that. In truth and in falsehood. In truth and in falsehood. This is from those blameworthy and lowly traits. Also, halaf Maheen. Maheen, yani the one who is a low life, the one who is lowly. His opinion, his position is always from the despicable manners. And the likes like this. Also, it's been mentioned he's a liar. Yani haqirun fi ra'ihi. Well, al wadi'a. Al maheen, he's a low life. He's the one despicable. He has a lowly thoughts and manners and etiquettes. And also, it's been mentioned that the maheen here is a liar. Hammaz. The Shahid, Hammazin Masha'in bin Namim. The Hammaz is the Ayyab with Muqtab. Hammaz is the one who's always picking out the faults of others. The one who's always picking out the faults of others. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentioned the threat of punishment and the fire for that person. Waylul li kulli humaza. Lumaza. Al humaza ayat Hammaz. The one who al Ayyab. Al-Muqtab, the one who is always belittling the people and picking out their faults and backbiting them. Any of these traits, many times they come together like that. The one who belittles the people, and the one who mocks and mimics the people, and the one who picks out the faults of others, many times he's the backbiter, and also the one who carries tales. And this is the issues that he's carrying. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. So we're forbidden from obeying and listening to the likes of these people. مَشَّاءٍ بِنَمِيمٍ. يعني walking about with calumnies, going about wherever he's going. وَشْمَشَّاءً بِالنَّمِيمِ يعني أنه يسعى في ذلك. This is what he hastens for. This is what he works for. يعني until it's considered like this, مَشَّاء. يعني always going about with tails, carrying tails. Some people, they're like that. This is what they're known for. Whenever they come around, and whenever they speak, the joy of their speech, and the fruit of their speech, and that which they find to be most delicious in their gatherings, is to backbite the people, and to carry tales about the people, and to speak about what the people are doing and what the people have done and what's going to happen and so on and so forth, and carrying tales and speaking ill of others. This is the best of their gatherings. And some people, they're like that. Whenever they come, this is what happens. If they come, it's an obligation for the people to reprimand them and to forbid them and to prohibit them and to admonish them. And at bare minimum, if they do not do that, to get up and leave. As for if they're silent about that and they remain in the company of that, then they share in the sin. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. They share in the sin, وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. So this is the evidence here. مَنَّاعِ لِلْخَيْرِ مُعْتَدٍ أَثِيمٍ. Those people who prohibit good, those who prohibit the good, there's good to be performed and good to be established. Some individuals, they prohibit that and they forbid that. And they are those who transgress the limits, and they are the sinners. So we're forbidden to obey the likes of these people and to listen to them. So the one who comes with namima, the one who comes with ghibah, his statement is not accepted. And he's considered the fasiq. And the fasiq, his statement is not accepted. It must be verified. It must be verified. And if it is accepted, it's not from his avenue. Rather, it's from the verification that was made. So the one who is hammaz and the one who carries tales, this is his case. It's not allowed to listen to him or to obey him. And then the author, he says, عَنْ هُذَيْفَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ مَرْفُوعًا لَا يَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةَ نَمَّامٌ. And it's also been narrated from Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, لا يدخل الجنة نمام, that the Namam, the one who carries tails, he will not enter paradise. He will not enter paradise. Meaning the one who commits this action, this great major sin, and he dies upon that before repenting, then he is from those people who have committed major sin. So therefore, so long as he was a Muslim, he's under the will of Allah. If Allah wills, he will enter him into the hellfire and punish him according to his sins. And he will be purified in the fire, waliyadhu billah, and taken out and admitted into paradise. And if Allah wills, he will pardon him in the beginning and forgive him. So this person here, the namam, he's from those who commit major sin. So this is a threat here. لا يدخل الجنة يعني في أول وهلة, in this manner. إلا أن يشاء الله سبحانه وتعالى. This is the meaning of that. We wouldn't understand this, the understanding of the Khawarij, meaning that the person who carries tails and he dies like that, that he will never enter paradise. That's not what is intended. That's not what is intended. Rather, what is intended is a threat for him. So this is from the Ahadith al-Wa'id, or Nusus al-Wa'id, with regards to the threat. And this is how to understand them according to the understanding of the people of the Sunnah. وَلِلَّهِ الْحَمْدِ. So now the author, he says, وَلَهُمَا فِي حَدِيثِ الْقَبْرَيْنِ. وَلَهُمَا فِي حَدِيثِ الْقَبْرَيْنِ. The previous narration was in Bukhari and Muslim. This narration likewise is in Bukhari and Muslim from the hadith about the two graves, meaning from the hadith of Ibn Abbas and radiallahu anhuma, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, إِنَّهُمَا لَيُعَذَّبَانِ إِنَّهُمَا لَيُعَذَّبَانِ وَمَا يُعَذَّبَانِ فِي كَبِيرٍ بَلَا إِنَّهُ كَبِيرٌ أَمَّا أَحَدُهُمَا فَكَانَ لَيَسْتَبْرِئُ مِنَ الْبَوْمِ وَأَمَّا الْآخَرُ فَكَانَ يَمْشِي بِالنَّمِيمَةِ. The hadith of the two graves, meaning the two graves that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was informed about, that the individuals in those two graves, both of them were being punished, waliyadhu billah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was informed about these two specific graves, that the individuals in those graves were being punished from the punishment in the grave, and the mentioned about that affair. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّهُمَا لَيُعَذَّبَانِ لَيُعَذَّبَانِ, that verily these two graves, the people inside of them, they're being punished. They're being punished. وَمَا يُعَذَّبَانِ فِي كَبِيرٍ, and they're not being punished for something kabir. Kabir, any major. Not, and they're not being punished for something major. بَلَا إِنَّهُ كَبِيرٌ, but rather indeed it is kabir. Rather indeed it is major. Rather indeed it is major. And then he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as for one of them, then he did not use to protect himself and cleanse himself from his urine whenever he used the restroom. كَانَ لَا يَسْتَبْرِئُ. And one wording, لَا يَسْتَنْزِئُ. And the likes, he didn't use to. وَلَا يَسْتَتِرُ. Also, he didn't use to protect himself. Meaning he didn't use to protect himself and take precaution and cleanse himself properly whenever he used the restroom, أَكْرَمَكُمُ اللَّهُ, from his urine. Until he would be soiled in urine in this manner. And he's punished in the grave for this reason. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. And as for the other one, then he used to go about with calumnies. He used to carry the tails. So here's a clarification for the author that this is from the major sins. This is from the major sins. Yani, that this is from the major sins. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَمَا يُعَذَّبَانِ فِي كَبِيرٍ بَلْ إِنَّهُ كَبِيرٍ. So we have the word kabir, which means major. And the first one is being negated, and the second one is being affirmed. The people of not, as they mention any time in the text of the Quran and the Sunnah, that if there's something in one context is being negated, in another context is being affirmed, that which is negated is contrary to that which is affirmed. They're not the same. They're not the same. So if something is ever negated, يعني ينفى شيء في موضع ويثبت في موضع آخر المنفي غير المثبت المنفي غير المثبت. So if something is affirmed in one portion or one text, and then that same thing, yani this the same issue is being negated in another, then they're two different affairs. Like the shafa'a. The shafa'a in the Quran is mentioned in some context that there's no shafa'a. And then in other contexts, it's mentioned there's shafa'a. So the one that is negated is different than the one that is affirmed. They're not the same. They're not the same. Likewise here. So the one that is being negated here, وَمَا يُعَذَّبَانِ فِي كَبِيرٍ. Yani, they're not being punished for something major. Any something major in the eyes of the people. Any something major in the eyes of the people. Or something major that's hard and difficult to avoid. Yani, and the likes of this, بَلْ إِنَّهُ كَبِيرٌ. But rather, it is kabir. Yani, meaning with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala considered a major sin. So in order for a person to cleanse himself from his urine and make sure that he didn't soil himself, and if something got on him, that he would purify himself from that, yani immediately, this is not something that takes a lot of effort. It doesn't take a lot of effort. It's not hard. And likewise, to refrain from speaking ill about the people and carrying tills and the likes like this. This is something that the tongue, it does loosely. And to check his tongue, this is also not something hard. To refrain from speaking is also not something any difficult. But the sin for that is major. The sin for that is major. So this is the meaning here, that it's not major, but it's major. And it's not major like this in order to avoid it, or it's not major in the eyes of the people. Many people, they think that it's something light. Many people, they think that it's something light, and they take it lightly. They think that it's nothing major, but with Allah, it's major. And the sin for that is major. And the threat of the punishment with regards to that is likewise major. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ After this, the author, he says, وَلِي مُسْلِمٍ أَنَا إِبْنِ مَسْعُودٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ وَلِي مُسْلِمٍ أَنَا إِبْنِ مَسْعُودٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ مَرْفُوعًا And it's been narrated by Al-Imam Muslim from the Hadith Ibn Mas'ud رضي الله عنه that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam he said ألا هل أنبئكم ما العضة هي النميمة القالة بين الناس The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam he said verily should I not inform you what is that العضة العضة And then they said and then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam he said indeed it is النميمة والقالة بين الناس Verily it is carrying tales and carrying the speech of the people in order to work corruption and sow discord amongst them. This is the case. The people of knowledge, they mention Al-Adlah, is Al-Ifku wal-Buhtan. And originally, this is Al-Ifku wal-Buhtan, to fabricate lies, and to fabricate lies, and to mention that which is not true, and to ascribe things to people that is false, or to say that they said something they did not say. This is called Al-Adlah in the Arabic language. This is called al in the Arabic language. And likewise, yani before in the days of Jahiliyyah, this word would be used also to refer to magic. Also to refer to magic. And so they would understand it like this. The origin, it means lying. The origin, it means slander. The origin, it means to ascribe falsehood to others that they said or did something they did not do. And the likes like this. But also it was known to be, to have the meaning of magic. And so this is also an indication of the dangers of that. Any of the dangers of that, that it's has been compared to magic, any because of the evil and the dissension and the division that it brings to loved ones and to family members and to the society. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ النَّمِيمَةُ الْقَالَةُ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ any carrying the tales and transmitting the speech of the people in order to sow discord and to work corruption. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ So the Namam, he's from the low lives. He's from the low lives. And likewise, the person who backbites and the one who carries tales, these people are from the low lives. The Salaf, they used to say that la yaktabu la yathkuru an-nas bima yakrahun illa safaratu min an-nas la deena lahum illa safaratu min an-nas la deena lahum la yathkuru an-nas bima yakrahun illa safaratu min an-nas la deena lahum Then I think that if I remember correctly, it's from this narration of Al-Dhahak, Rahimahullah, that no one will mention the people behind their backs in a manner they dislike, except for lowlifes, those who have no deen. Except for lowlifes, those who have no deen. Also, they have no muru'ah, they have no shuja'ah, likewise. They have no manhood, and they have no courage. This is why they mention them behind their back. Waliyadhu billah. With regards to the narration of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma about those two individuals who are punished in the grave, before this narration, there's a portion of our story with regards to this. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he had a jarida, a nakhla, or a piece, a ghusn. He had a piece or a twig, and he put it in the grave, on one on each of these graves. And then he was asked sallallahu alaihi wasallam why he did that. And he said, I hope that their punishment will be lightened for them so long as these twigs do not wither. So long as these twigs do not wither. So we had some questions from the youth. And it was asked about putting flowers on the grave and the likes like this. And maybe somebody might use this as an evidence here. Or we say, is it legislated now for us to go do the same thing and put the twig on the grave of somebody, of our beloved one, and hope that the punishment would be lightened for them? Is it something legislated? No. The answer was, we mentioned before in the youth class, I don't see no youth here, they didn't come to that. Oh, there's one of them.
how would they know that person is being punished?
Ahsanta. Ahsanta. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was informed the punishment in the grave is from the affairs of the unseen. Amur al-ghaybiyya and Amur al-ghaybiyya. This is from the affairs of the unseen. So we don't know who is punished and who is not punished. We don't know who Allah forgave and who Allah did not forgive. We know that some people in their grave they're punished and others they are in delight. We hope that we are from those in delight. Huh? And that we are those who are safe from the punishment of the grave and our loved ones. May Allah protect us from that. But we don't know. Those people that are there now, we don't know. We don't know. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was informed about these two graves specifically. So that's why he did that. As for us, then we don't know. Also, there was another mahdur there. There's another problem with that. Huh?
Anything on the
flower, grave. Yeah, the flowers. Well, let's talk about the twig first, and we go to the flowers next. The twig itself doesn't for this reason though, hoping that the punishment will be lightened. There's also another problem there, another issue there. What was that?
This
part is established. This is from the affairs of the unseen. Only the Prophet, he only know that because he received revelation. He was informed, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As for us, we don't know. This one's established. There's another problem though.
The twig doesn't harm or benefit.
That's right, but...
It's having bad thought about the individual.
Ahsanta. Having bad thoughts about the person in the grave. So that's having that su'dhan. Bisahib al-qabr. Having bad thoughts about him. We don't know what happened to so-and-so in the grave, but we hope that Allah forgive him. We hope that Allah has mercy with him. So for us to go to the grave and put the twig there, hoping that the punishment will be lifted, that's thinking. So now you're thinking he's punished in the grave? You have bad thoughts about him? You're thinking, oh, he must have been a fasiq. He must have been this. He must have been that. He must have died upon falsehood. He must have died upon sin. He must have done something that deserves the punishment. Oh, let me put a twig on his grave. Maybe his punishment will be lightened. That's having bad thoughts about the person in the grave. So you shouldn't think like that about your believing brother. Rather, you should hope that he's pardoned. You should hope that he's forgiven. You should, and you never make jizm. But the point is, the other problem that comes from this is having bad thoughts about the grave. As for like the brother Abu Adi, he mentioned, the putting the flowers on the grave, this is from imitating the kuffar. This is what the kuffar do. This is what the kuffar do. And this is what they do. They put flowers on the grave. They put flowers on the grave. So a Muslim, he will not do that, any from that aspect likewise. All, not to mention all of these affairs, they have been forbidden, any to put anything on the grave. To put anything on the grave. So this is any from the benefits of that. Taib. The one who makes namim, the one who makes namima, spreads tales. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, La yadkhul al-jannata namim. He will not enter paradise. Huh? La yadkhul al-jannata namim. Huh? The one who carries tales, backbites in the people and spreads corruption between the people, he will not enter paradise. And he never. The wa'id, this is from the threat. Dukhul al-awwali, he's not going to, he will not enter in the beginning. Yani, with those who enter in the beginning, meaning he will not enter without any punishment, or he will not enter without any accountability. Well, what's best to say, this is from the text of the wa'id. There are texts with regards to the wa'id, the threat of the fire for the disobedient. So there's a general principle with regards to that, with regards to all of these texts, how to understand them. Anytime there's a text with regards to the threat of a fire for those who are disobedient from the believers, is that they're under the, if they die upon that without repenting, they're under the will of Allah. If Allah wills, He will forgive them, and if Allah wills, He will punish them. If Allah punishes them, He punishes them according to their sin. They'll enter the fire, and they'll be punished in the fire according to their sin. The way they enter the fire is not the way the disbelievers enter the fire. The punishment in the fire is not the same as the disbelievers in the fire. The disbelievers are humiliated in the fire. They're disgraced in the fire. They're thrown on their face in the fire. The believer, not the same way, but a believer, he would not want to play with the fire. He would not want to take, that doesn't mean to take it lightly. That doesn't mean to take it lightly, but just to distinguish between the proper understanding and the incorrect understanding, because the Khawaris, they take these narrations right here and they say, look, he's a disbeliever. They say, look, he's a disbeliever, and then they shed his blood and take his blood and the likes like that. This is from their evidences. So that's that misguided understanding. So no, if Allah decrees to punish him, he will be punished in the fire. According to his sins, a punishment of cleansing, not a punishment of belittlement and disgrace. Adab tathir. Yeah, he will be punished in a manner to cleanse his sins. So in reality, in the end, will be a mercy for him. The Jannah is not, nobody enters Jannah except those who are pure. the pure soul. لا يدخل الجنة إلا نفس مؤمنة. So the pure soul, they're gonna go right in Jannah because it's for them. The Jannah is tayyibah, and only gonna go in there the soul tayyibah, right? So some people they in this life they kept their soul pure and they died in a state of purity. And they have honor and respect in this life and in the grave and on the day of resurrection and in the Jannah. And then other people, their souls were filthy and have no purity whatsoever, the disbelievers, and they will never enter Jannah, ever. Ever. There's no way for a person who dies upon disbelief, no Jew or no Christian, or no pagan, or no polytheist, or no Buddha, or no Hindu, any of them who die upon another way than the way of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his soul will never enter paradise. And then there's who died and their souls are mixed up. Their soul is pure in its origin, but it became tainted. These are the ones that must be cleansed, either by calamities, or either by repentance, or either by the righteous deeds, and if not, by the hellfire. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ But then they'll enter the paradise by the grace of Allah. And Allah knows best. هَذَا وَصَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ وَسَلَّمَ